for your good? Are you kidding me? The government is a servant for my good? Wow. Nobody asked me about it. No, nobody asked me about it. Did they ask you? Did they ask you how much money you wanted to pay for gas? Did they ask you how much you wanted to be taxed? Did they? No. But you don't, they don't have to ask you anything because you can read Romans 8. As at 28, all things work together for the good of those who are loving God. Yeah, you knew I was going to tell you something like that. I hope I didn't disappoint you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Monday. This is Martin Sender. Yeah, that's the old backstop, isn't it? That all things work together for the good of those who are loving God and are called according to His purpose. That relieves all worry. That's why when I read this verse in Romans 13 that speaks of the government as God's servant. Yeah, you know, the Cyrus. Is that, who was it? The king of Syria? No, it was Cyrus. No, that was the Medo-Persian Empire. One of the kings, God said that he sent him against Israel. And there's a passage in Isaiah where God and Jeremiah, where God calls a horde of heathen armies and sends them to Babylon, to destroy Babylon. And he calls this horde of pagan heathen armies a hallowed people. Hallowed, they're holy. Holy is anything set apart for God's use. It has no moral tinge to it. It has no moral bias. Holy means set apart. As proof that holy has no moral bias, the land was called holy, i.e. Holy Land. How can land be either good or evil? How can it sin? It can't. The firstborn of the flocks were dedicated to God. They were hallowed. They were set apart to Him. So if a cow can be set apart to God, then a president of the United States certainly can. And we are told here that they're your servants for good. No, it is God's servant. Yeah. An avenger for indignation to him who is committing evil. Oh, but what if they congratulate you when you commit evil and they avenge you when you commit good? Well, keep in mind the good and evil of the context. Good is subjection. Evil is insubjection or insubordination, if you would like. So listen to this. It is God's servant for your good. All right, now you slow down. You're going to get upset unless I tell you that this is your ultimate good. Again, I go back to Romans 8. All things work together for good. And we will be happy to tell God which things will work for our good and which things won't. Yes, we'll be happy to inform Him of that. But I have a verse in Romans 12:16 which does away with that idea. Like, I know, God, all things work together for my good. And here's a list of the things that you should consider that would be for my good. And here's a list of the things that would not be for my good, and you're welcome to keep these things from my life. All right, right across the page, Romans 12:16. Do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. How about, do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. In other words, don't think that you're a wise guy. Don't think you're the smartest guy around and you're going to know exactly what you need. Because I wrote a book. I'm in the middle of writing a book. I started it actually 8 years ago. I'm not sure why I'm talking in this voice, but it's really appropriate for what I'm about to tell you. There's a Joel Osteen book out called Your Best Life Now. Yeah, Joel Osteen says that if you just have faith, you should be living your best life now. On the premise that you know exactly what's good for you. You're the most prudent person in the universe. Yeah, you know what's good for you. Well, I wrote a parody of that book. Yeah, I started it. I'm going to finish it. You wait and see. It's called Your Best Life Sucks. That's the name of my parody of Joel Osteen's stupid book, Your Best Life Now. I say, okay, let's say you're a genius and you're going to pray for a big house. You're going to pray for exactly what you think you need. So you pray and I'm going to say God's going to give it to you. You got all kinds of faith. Yeah, you got boatloads of faith. So God gives you everything you want. And you know what? You screw up your life because you don't know what's good for you. You have no clue what's good for you, you moron. So your best life, what you think your best life is, it'll suck. And God's actually merciful to not bring it to you. I got a little English there at the end. I don't know what happened. That's where this comes in. Do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. Don't assume that you know what's good for you. Though God knows what's good for you. And he sends in the government. That's what this verse says. The authorities. It's God's servant. God's servant for your good. All right? Now, let me ask you this. The thing that happened to Job, was that for Job's good? Yes. Who said no? Almighty. Who said no? No, of course it. Yeah, it was for Job's ultimate good. Am I still taping here? All right. I'm a little confused. Looks like my tape has stopped. What's happening here? Hang on a second. I got to check my... I'm using a different computer because mine's getting whacked out. I'm supposed to... All right, I'm still running video, but not audio. So we're just going to say the audio is not going to be available for this show. Am I running video? Yeah, good. Okay, I'm still running video. Where was I? The audio stopped of its own accord. So God apparently is working that together for good, too. I don't know how. Irritating, but anyway. All right, how's my hair look? Now I'm totally on the video. I'm not usually looking at myself. I'm looking at the audio. So Job, Job would not have ordered that plate for himself. No way. But God gave it to him. And the problem with Job was that he was perfect in his generation. But, or was that Noah? Hey, right? Yeah, they were both perfect. Job prayed for people, offered things for his kids just to, in case they forgot to offer him. So he was ridiculously good, but he was self-righteous. And he learned that his self-righteousness was nothing, and God silenced him. And he said, before I heard of you, now I see who you are. So that's a good verse, Romans 12:16. Don't come to pass for prudent with yourself, and to no one render evil for evil. So there you go. That's the evil government, and you're not supposed to render evil to it. Now, here's the thing. For it is God's servant, an avenger for indignation to him who is committing evil, the insubordinate. Wherefore, it is necessary to be subject. Wherefore, it is necessary. I love words like that because there's no ambiguity there. It's, you just do this. And again, the reason is because God has set those authorities into place, which are, and not one of them has come into being apart from him. That should be comforting. This is where you walk by faith, not perception. Because if you walk by perception, you just can scarcely believe that God would make things this bad. But he does. Now, let's go to verse 6 of Romans chapter 13. For therefore you are settling taxes also. Yeah, taxes. I have been told that the system of taxation in the United States is actually unconstitutional. Now, I don't know. I haven't studied this, but people who I respect who are smart say that it's unconstitutional to collect taxes. And Jesus was a genius when they asked him if they were to pay taxes. And he shows him the coin whose likeness is on this coin. They said Caesar's. And he said, well, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. If Caesar wants it, Caesar gets it. Here's the crux of what he was saying. Why are you concerned about keeping all this money anyway? The Lord give and the Lord taketh away. And do I hate this truth. But God knows how much money you... Wait, first of all, you know how people always say God knows how much money you need? I got a new take on that. It's called God knows how much money you don't need, and he has many creative ways of separating you from it. Keep that in mind. God knows how much money you don't need, and he has many creative ways of separating you from it. And again, this is of him. How can you say that? Because all is of God. That's my backstop. All is of God. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I think so. So that's the reason. For therefore you are settling taxes. Why the therefore? Because it refers back to what he just said, what Paul just said. You're settling taxes because the authorities tell you to settle taxes. Nobody wants to settle taxes. It's like doing homework. When you're a kid, you work at school all day, and then the teachers send you home with a bunch of books, and they expect you to work when you get home. It's ridiculous. So you work and work and work all day for your paycheck, and then the government wants you to give them some more. It's like you're already working for them to keep society going, right? Your contribution to society. And then it's not enough. You have to give a percentage of your income. But therefore are you settling taxes also, for they are God's ministers. Remember I said God knows how much money you don't need? Yeah. He uses the government to take some away. I wouldn't believe this myself if Romans 13:1 didn't say that there is no authority except under God. I wouldn't believe it myself unless it was in Scripture. But there it is. What are you going to do about it? For they are God's ministers, perpetuated for this selfsame thing. What? To take your money? Yeah. To give you an opportunity to show grace in the face of evil. Render to all their dues, to whom tax, tax, to whom tribute, tribute, to whom fear, fear, to whom honor, honor. Again, why not? The only thing I think that would stop you is if, like, you have some pride thing going on where you are jealous and envious of the people. Like, if you go to Washington, D.C., for instance, you stand behind the gate at the South Lawn of the White House, and you look at the White House, and you see all the trappings of power, and you see maybe the helicopter land. Marine One. And you're just, oh, wow. And the president to you seems like, what a lucky guy. Well, he's the most unfortunate person on the planet. Not only does he have a hard job now, but his Nebuchadnezzar experience awaits him. So, again, goes back to what I said last week. Feel sorry for him. So, in that case, it's not hard to give them what they want. Just render your taxes. Give them your taxes. Settle your taxes, because they're God's ministers. And they're prepared for this. They're being used by God for your sake to bring you a necessary evil, both to humble you and to give you an opportunity to show grace. And whatever they want, give it to them. So let's go down to verse 8. To no one owe anything except to be loving one another. For he who is loving one another has fulfilled the law. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to love. And this is the hardest thing. But if you don't have it, you're like a clanging gong. You can know all secrets, all mysteries. If I don't have love, I'm as a clanging gong. So love answers everything. And you know me, I made a video one time about Joel Osteen, the very guy I talked about. I said, I just can't work up the love for Joel Osteen. Look, I'm going to give you an out there, because you can only work out the love that God puts in your heart. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, the first one. And so if God doesn't give you love for somebody, you can't do it. But I'm exhorting you today, as I exhort myself, to love those who persecute you, settle taxes. Do not render evil for evil, but render good for evil. Those magistrates, they have a hard job, and they're actually God's ministers, though they're unconscious of it. This is the ironic thing. The people in government are God's ministers, totally unconscious of being God's ministers. And the blokes in the church, the ministers running the thing, they're actually opposing God. They're actually doing everything wrong. That's why Jesus gave more respect to Pilate than he did to the priesthood. Greater is he who handed me over to you. That's what Jesus told Pontius Pilate. There's your attitude. It's the government that's actually doing the will of God. And it's the, relatively speaking, and it's the church world that is opposing him at every turn. Therefore, I would give greater credence to people like Pilate and Nero than I would Caiaphas, Joel Osteen, and Billy Graham. This has been Martin Zender. We'll see you tomorrow.